Okay, so oxygen was 18%. Carbon dioxide is 0.03%. It's got a smaller partial pressure. Now, even though it likes water more than oxygen, because the partial pressure is so much smaller, it really doesn't like to dissolve in water very well either, just because the partial pressure is so low. Now, is that good for us? Is that good for our bodies? The carbon dioxide part. Yes, because what are we trying to do when we breathe out? We're trying to get the CO2 particles down here to move up. So we want this. We like that. But does our body like the oxygen part? No, because we want the oxygen to come down. Is it harder to get the oxygen to come down, or is it harder to get the carbon dioxide to leave? It's harder to get the oxygen to come down. So we have to cheat. Now, how does our body cheat? Okay. Now, this dissolution process is what we call a balanced reaction. What does that mean? It's an equilibrium reaction. So we have oxygen in gas form. Goes both ways into its liquid form, or H2O, plus oxygen there. So we have oxygen in gas, and we have oxygen aqueous, because it's dissolved. And this can go both directions. What is it that drives this in one direction or the other, if it's an equilibrium reaction? Say it again. Diffusion. And what drives diffusion? Concentration. So we have two ways we can muck with concentration. What are the two ways we can drive more oxygen into the blood, into the water? If we're messing with concentration, what can we do? We can increase the amount of oxygen. Now, do we do that in the hospital? Yeah, we put oxygen on someone. That increases this. Now, can we mess with this side? How do we mess with this side? If we lower the amount of oxygen that's dissolved in water, will that make more come in to fill its space? Okay. How can we suck oxygen out of water in our blood? No, in the blood. We still want it to be in our blood. We just don't want it to be in solution. What's your answer? Hemoglobin. What the hemoglobin will do is it will take this oxygen molecule and it will bind it to it. Now that oxygen molecule is no longer in the blood, now there's less concentration of oxygen in your water in the blood. So now what we're doing is we're shifting this to come into the blood. So that's how your body cheats. Your body cheats by vacuuming oxygen out of the water, putting it into hemoglobin. And that shifts the concentration of oxygen to make more oxygen want to dissolve in the water in the first place. So the only reason your body has hemoglobin is because oxygen doesn't dissolve well in water. Now, how many of you ever lived up in the mountains before? Okay. People up in the mountains, they have more or less hemoglobin in their bodies? I don't know. Okay. People who live in the mountains, their bodies will actually produce more hemoglobin. Why do they produce more hemoglobin? There's less oxygen in the air. Now, it's not that there's a less percentage of oxygen, but there's a less total pressure. So by reducing the total pressure, you reduce the partial pressure of oxygen. So your body compensates by producing more hemoglobin, which sucks more oxygen out of the water phase, which in turn shifts that reaction towards dissolving water. And I know you didn't learn that in AMP2. But you should have. What? Well, you should have at least learned equilibrium reactions and partial pressures. Did you learn? Yeah, or maybe physics. All right. Well, you can go back to your professor and tell them that they were not very helpful for you. All right, any questions about this process? It's very helpful if you can remember all the steps, but if you can't, what you need to remember is, in order to get oxygen into our lungs or into our blood, we have to dissolve it in water. Dissolving it in water takes pressure. So you can either decrease the pressure on the water side through the use of hemoglobin, or you can increase the oxygen in the air through the use of oxygen gas, masks, cannulas, other stuff. So in the hospital, what do we do?
Both.
Yes. So on the one hand, we'll put a person on oxygen. On the other hand, if their hemoglobin's too low, what will we give them?
Blood transfusion.
So we'll increase their hemoglobin levels. So we actually will do both in the hospital.
You're giving them more oxygen and more hemoglobin so the cycle.
Right. Now, we're not going to do that to everyone, but we will do it to some people. All right. Let's see. So oxyhemoglobin is a reversible reaction, and it's dependent on the amount of partial pressure of oxygen. So the more oxygen there is, the more hemoglobin will bind to oxygen. The less oxygen there is, the more it will let go of it. It's also dependent on the pH, and it's dependent on the temperature. One of the reasons why our bodies maintain a relatively constant temperature is because hemoglobin works best at about 98 degrees or so. Carbon dioxide usually travels in a buffered state as carbonic acid. All right, here is what we call the hemoglobin dissociation curve. So if you remember back to your normal values of the ABGs, what is the normal values for partial pressure of oxygen, for the arterial pressure of oxygen? Nope. For oxygen, the partial pressure of oxygen. Yeah, 80 to 100. All right, so here we have 80 right down here. Now, at 80, how much of your hemoglobin is saturated at 80? About 90 to 95% or so. If you increase from 80 up to 90 milligrams, or 90 millimeters of pressure, how much more is saturated? Not much. If you increase to 100 millimeters, how much more is saturated? Not much. If you go up to 110, how much? So it flattens out at the top, which basically means that once we get to about 80 millimeters partial pressure of oxygen in the blood, we pretty much saturated all of the hemoglobin we're going to saturate. Now, once your blood takes the oxygen down to the tissues, there's no oxygen down there except what's in the blood. So you begin to release it and let go of it. And so you have this very rapid drop-off. So the chemical nature of hemoglobin allows your body to suck up a whole bunch near your lungs, and then drop it off when it gets to the tissues. Now, why is carbon monoxide so dangerous? Carbon monoxide also binds to hemoglobin, but it is not pressure dependent. Once it grabs on, it will not let go for dear life. It is fatal attraction. You dated me once, you must marry me now. I will never let go of you. Yeah. So the reason carbon monoxide is so dangerous is because once it holds on, it never lets go. And so that hemoglobin becomes worthless because you can't put an oxygen onto it now. All right, here's some diagrams of the shifts. So this middle line is normal. Now, if we have decreased carbon dioxide, so the pH changes, what will happen is we'll shift the hemoglobin this direction, the curve this direction. So what that actually does is it makes it saturate at higher levels, which means we can get more saturation of hemoglobin. But when you try and get rid of it, when the hemoglobin should be getting rid of it, it wants to hold on to it. On the other hand, we have increased carbon dioxide levels, too much PaCO2, which is going to cause acidity. In acidity, it's harder to put the oxygen into the hemoglobin in the first place. So this kind of middle one is where we want to be. So acidosis makes it harder to put it on in the first place. So if it's hard to put on in the first place, you don't get as much to the tissues. Alkalosis causes it to be easier to put onto it, but then it doesn't want to let it go. So even though there's more oxygen saturated, it doesn't get to your tissue as well. All right, respiratory assessments. Some things that we can do to just measure ventilation. What's the number one measure of ventilation that's done in the world? We taught you how to do it the very first day. Respiratory rate. In addition to that, we can also measure PFTs. You can do something called a VQ scan, which looks for hot spots and cold spots in the lung. So you're looking for areas where blood is not being uptaken. We can look for blood gases, which we've already talked about, the partial pressure of oxygen, the partial pressure of carbon dioxide, and the pH. Previously, when we did the acid-base balance, we ignored the oxygen part, right? But now we are going to not ignore it any longer. And then we have hemoglobin studies, the amount and the saturation of hemoglobin. What is normal saturation of hemoglobin? 96 to 100%. Right, that's the SpO2. You can also get that number off of a blood gas, arterial blood gas. And we can also measure the amount of hemoglobin a person has. And we do that just by taking blood. All right, that's it for the A&P of our A&P review, although some of it was new material. A lot of it really is just kind of basic anatomy stuff, but this last part gets a little bit more involved.